We want to continue the pictorial studies now, looking at the reign of Hezekiah and the attack of Assyria down into Judah and Hezekiah's preparations to protect Jerusalem from Sennacherib. So Sennacherib's generals were sent over from Lachish. The king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabsakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with the great host against Jerusalem. And they went up to come and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the Fuller's Field. Fullers were the clothes cleaners. And so that's where they were, right about there. And so they were not aware, obviously, of the water supply that Hezekiah had secured, because they warned the people that they would die by thirst. If you don't submit to Sennacherib, you'll die by thirst. Well, Hezekiah had prepared well for that. And so the king got all the people and the captains together, captains of war, and he gathered them together in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him." And so Hezekiah is providing very good leadership all through this. He says there'll be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Good leader, which we must have. But Sennacherib boasted. This is the big mistake he made. He boasted against Jehovah God. He said he was more powerful than the gods of the nations. He was no more powerful. He said, "Jehovah God, he's no more powerful than the gods of the nations that we've already defeated. The king of Assyria." He said, "Rabsaris, Tartan, Rabshakeh from Lachish with the great host against Jerusalem." He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't be deceived by Hezekiah." Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." That's some good praying. Well, it was answered. It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. 185,000. His whole army was destroyed. And Lord Byron wrote about that in 1815, one of the great writers of England. He wrote, "The Destruction of Sennacherib. The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea when the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. Like the leaves of the forest when summer's green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved and forever grew still. And there lay the rider distorted and pale, with the dew of his brow on his brow and the rust on his mail. The mail, the armored, protective armor. And the tents were all silent, and the banners alone, the lances unlifted, the trumpet unblown. and the widows of Asher. Asher, we've studied Asher. That was the god of Assyria, the sun god. Were loud in their wail, and the idols are broken in the temple of Baal. And the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow in the glance of the Lord. Great poem to commemorate this biblical event. God showed his might over Sennacherib and the greatest army of the earth, of the times. So Sennacherib returned to Assyria, and there he was killed by his sons. The Bible tells us about it. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Ashurhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead, Ashurhaddon. So this wicked king who boasted against God was killed by his own sons when he was worshiping Nisroch. That is Nisroch there, the eagle-headed god. The depictions of this god were on his palace walls. Some of them are in many museums, such as the British Museum. This is Nisroch. Didn't help him out at all. That assassination, it was also recorded by Asarhaddon. And the writing was found. And it says, "My brothers rebelled. In order to exercise royal authority, they killed Sennacherib. I became a raging lion. My mind was in a fury. These usurpers fled to an unknown land." And so we have the account of the Bible also written from the Assyrian side. The Bible says that after this, Hezekiah got sick. And he was healed in answer to prayer. He was only 39 years old. And he asked for 50 more years. And the prophet said that God would do it. And Hezekiah wanted a sign. And so he received the sign of the shadow on the sundial going back 10 degrees. Back 10 degrees. This is a great miracle, and that's what God did. This is the sundial. This is the oldest sundial that is in existence. It's from Egypt, and it dates to 1500 B.C. Hezekiah lived in about 600 B.C., 700 B.C., and so this sundial dates to before Hezekiah. The record of Hezekiah's healing was 750 B.C., and the sundial dates to 1500 B.C., So a sun marks time by the shadow cast by the position of the sun in the sky. Cast a shadow for the shadow to go back means a miracle had to happen. And it did. God is in control of all these things. No problem for God. People that don't believe in miracles don't believe in the God of the Bible. That's all. This is a Greek sundial dating to about the 3rd century B.C. So there's many commentaries that try to figure out how this happened from a naturalistic standpoint, but it wasn't natural. It was supernatural. And how God did it doesn't matter. God did it. And then Hezekiah became proud in those last years. They were not good years for him, for the most part. The Bible says Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up, pride. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem for not good years. His backslidden condition is seen in how he treated the representatives of the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, Merodach-Baladan, sent representatives over there. The king of Babylon wanted to make an alliance with the king of Israel against Assyria. And so what did Hezekiah do? He should not have had anything to do with them at all, but he did. He hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not, representatives of Babylon. Babylon, the enemy of God, ancient enemy of God. Babylon, who very soon is going to destroy Israel. And he didn't care about the next generation in that backslidden condition. Didn't care about his children. Didn't care about his own children. Because Isaiah came and gave him a prophecy. And he said that Babylon was going to conquer Israel. And he said, your sons will be made eunuchs. And Hezekiah said, so Isaiah came and said to Hezekiah, what said these men? From whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they're from a far country, even from Babylon. He said, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in my house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures I have not showed them. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Well, what did Hezekiah say to that? He said unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, is it not good? Isaiah must have expressed some shock at that, because he further said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? What? No concern for the next generation? It's a backslider. And Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled about 110 years later. Berodach-Baladan's grandson, Nebuchadnezzar, conquered Jerusalem. Before that, he took captive the sons of the king. Destroyed the temple, carried the Israelites away captive, just like God said it would. 3 years after he was healed, Hezekiah had a son named Manasseh. He became one of the wickedest kings of Israel. Maybe he should not have prayed for God to extend his life, but he did. And Manasseh took the throne at age 12. He ruled 55 years. And he was one of Israel's very worst kings. He hated Jehovah God, even though his father was a godly man. In 2014, it was announced that they had discovered a little seal inscribed with Hezekiah's name, the king's own name. That was his seal, belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah. Inscribed in Hebrew. They found Hezekiah's own seal. And that was among 34 little seals that were found in Ophel. We've looked at Ophel before. Ophel, which was south of the Temple Mount. The top side of the city of David. And they were digging around over there, the archaeologists, and found these 34 little seals. Under the direction of Eilat Mazur, who we've looked at. She died this year. It was sad because she was a great archaeologist. Discovered David's palace. And so here's the Temple Mount today with the Dome of the Rock over there, the mosque, Muslim mosque up there. But below the Temple Mount, where the Israel's temple used to sit, is the Ophel region, and they're doing a lot of excavation in there, finding a lot of interesting things. Now, these were tiny seals that were used to seal sacks of food things. This was an area where the kitchen was. And so here's in Hezekiah's kitchen. Volunteers are working in the Ophel dig here. A lot of young people volunteer to go over and do the hard work of digging up these things. And so they take the dirt, and they have a sifting project. Volunteers will sift through and find every little tiny thing, and that's what they really have to do to find these tiny seals. The same color as the dirt around them, they're very hard to see. The Hezekiah seal, very tiny. And so that's evidence from the Bible, from the archaeology, one of the thousands of evidences, the Bible's true history. And so we come to Josiah, Judah's last godly king. Last godly king. We've seen him already because he came after the woman Athaliah, who ruled for 6 years. Josiah and ruled illegitimately for 6 years, but they rescued little Josiah from her attempt to destroy all the sons of David. And he was rescued, and he was raised up in the temple in secret. And when he was, I think he was 7, but anyway, when he was just a boy, he ruled for 31 years. And he had been preceded by, no, 8 years old, I'm sorry. And this is not the one who ruled after Athaliah. Now I'm getting all confused here. So Josiah took the throne at age 8, ruled for 31 years, preceded by 57 years of evil Manasseh and Ammon. And so the nation was in a terrible situation. The revival, Hezekiah's revival was long gone. 8 years old, he was a good king. Israel's last good king. He began to seek the Lord in the 8th year of his reign. So he was 16 years old when he personally began to seek the Lord. There comes a time in your life when you have to make your personal decision about God. He made that at age 16. And in the 12th year of his reign, so he's 20 years old now, he began to purge the idols from the land and try to lead in a spiritual revival. And he did this in Judah, Simeon, which is surrounded by Judah, Ephraim, farther north, Manasseh, and there were two parts of Manasseh, one on each side of the Jordan, and then Naphtali, farther north, north of the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says he was purging the idols from all this territory. It's a big project. Two of the writing prophets lived in Josiah's day. Jeremiah and Zephaniah was there, preaching, helping him in this revival. When Josiah was 26... he ordered the repair of the temple. He ordered the Levites, the priests, to repair the temple. And restore the temple worship and the music that the Levites performed during the sacrifices and other things at the temple. And when they were repairing the temple and digging around back there, they found the book of the law, which is the Pentateuch, the law of Moses. And they brought it to the king. They said, look what we found. And so the law itself had been forgotten in the temple. There was a copy. So they brought it to the king, and they started reading from it about the judgments. That if Israel, they started reading from Deuteronomy of how that if Israel turned away from God, God would destroy Israel. Josiah repented, he tore his clothes, humbled himself before God for the sin of the nation. So that we see that great darkness had come upon Israel, even though it just in that time between Josiah and Hezekiah. So it's great darkness had come so quickly. And so they sent to the prophetess Huldah. What should we do? And she said, God was going to destroy Israel, but he would not do it in Josiah's day because Josiah had repented. She said, Josiah had a tender heart toward the things of God. Yeah, a tender heart toward the things of God, Josiah. Josiah refused to walk in the wicked ways of his father, grandfather. What a wise young man. He turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. He was 100% for God. He gathered the people together, had the scriptures read to them. He led them in making a covenant to keep God's word, just what Hezekiah had led them in. So we see that revival can be quickly lost and it can be regained also. Josiah had all the idolatrous things burned. They'd set up idols in the temple itself. He had them take them out down to the Kidron Valley and burned them. Again, that's necessary for spiritual revival. We've got to get rid of the evil things. We've got to separate from the world. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. The fact that fundamental Baptist churches are giving up separation and letting it go, just letting it slip away, that's a very, very serious thing. And he also destroyed the high places throughout the land. He put away the witches and the wizards, all that occultism and witchcraft. The Bible tells us that we have to practice the same kind of separation in the churches. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Strong language. If we give up separation, we're giving up the Bible. Josiah destroyed the altar at Bethel that Jeroboam had made. That altar was still there. Josiah finally destroyed it. And he led the nation in a great Passover, just like Hezekiah did, putting Christ back in the center of things. And the blood of Christ and salvation. And the Bible tells us that was the greatest Passover since the days of Samuel. It's the days of Samuel. It did a lot of good. It did not change the character really of the nation because it did not reach the hearts of most of the people. But it put off God's judgment for 35 years. It had a good influence, good impact. It's never too late to have a revival and to expect God to help us and do something. I am sure if more churches would take the Word of God seriously these days in America, it would put off the judgment and God would do, who knows what God would do. In Josiah's later years, Babylon was on the rise. Babylon conquered Assyria. In 626, Nebuchadnezzar took Babylon's rule from Assyria. Assyrians had ruled Babylon, the city, but Nebuchadnezzar, who was the father of Nebuchadnezzar, he was able to make Babylon an independent city. And then in 612, Nineveh itself, the capital city of the Assyrians, was destroyed by an allied army led by Nebuchadnezzar. They destroyed that great city and it just crumbled into ruins and was covered over by dirt. And in 608 BC, when Joash had reigned 31 years, Pharaoh Necho came up from Egypt. Pharaoh Necho was not attacking Israel. Pharaoh Necho was attacking, he was going up north to attack to fight with Assyria. The Assyrians were trying to, they were always fighting all these kingdoms. And the Egyptians were fighting, Syrians were fighting, Babylonians were fighting. And so Pharaoh Necho took his army and he was headed up to attack Assyrians at Carchemish. It's a very famous battle in history. And he had to pass through Israel to get up there. And Necho sent word to Josiah, God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God. Who is with me that he destroy thee not? This is an image of Pharaoh Necho from Egypt. He said, I'm not attacking you, Josiah. Leave me alone. God has told me to go up there. Josiah hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. See, there's a time to fight Egypt and there's a time not to. You got to know the times. You got to know the times. And it was not time to fight Egypt. And so, actually, Josiah, the good king, was fighting against God's will. And he was killed. Good men can do stupid things when they don't follow the word of God. So Josiah was wounded. He was taken to Jerusalem where he died. Out there in the valley of Jezreel, this happened. Where all so many other things we've seen happen. And so the revival is only 12 or 13 years old. Following the discovery of the book of law in the temple. And that ended the revival. The death of the king ended the revival. And so Egypt continued. Egypt went on up. And they had the battle of Carchemish. And Egypt and Assyria were defeated by an alliance of Babylonians, Medes, and Persians under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, son of Nebuchadnezzar. There it happened there, Carchemish. And there's Babylon and Israel and Nineveh. All that great Mesopotamia, the city of the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. And so now we come to Israel's last four kings. Time is running out. God had sent prophets to Israel, one after the other, and Israel refused to hear. And so Josiah was the last good king. Only 23 years are left. Two of Josiah's sons were reigned after him, but they were both wicked. They did not follow their father's wise footsteps. Jehoahaz. And he was deposed by king. He only ruled 3 months. He was deposed by Necho of Egypt. Sent down to Egypt. He died in Egypt. Jehoiakim. So Necho appointed Josiah's son Eliakim to be king and changed his name to Jehoiakim. He's the wicked king that cut up Jeremiah's prophecy and burned it into fire. It came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves of Jeremiah's prophecy, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. He had a penknife. And he used it to cut up the word of God. What a stupid man. The prophecies were rewritten and fulfilled. So it didn't matter. He could not destroy God's word. God instructed Jeremiah to write it again through his secretary, Barak. And we have it today in our Bibles. Jehoiakim did not destroy it. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And so we have it today in our Bibles. God has preserved it. Jehoiakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. So in 602, Nebuchadnezzar came down, captured him and took him away captive, took some of the sons of the king captive, including Daniel and his friends. So Jehoiachin came to the throne. Next, he only ruled 3 months. And in that day, the king of Babylon came down and conquered Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Egypt at that time. In 597, Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem for the second time and took many captive at that time. And that's when Ezekiel was taken captive. And we have a record of that event from the Babylonian Chronicles. The Babylonian history of those times was discovered, part of the history, not all of it survived, but this is what they say of that second siege of Jerusalem. In the seventh year, in the month Chisli, the king assembled his army and encamped over against the city of the Judeans and conquered it on the second day of Adar. He took the king prisoner and appointed in his stead a king after his own heart, Zedekiah, who became the last king of Israel. He exacted heavy tribute and had it brought to Jerusalem. All the stuff was brought up to, Babylon. And Jehoiachin, by the way, the Bible says Jehoiachin was released from prison in the reign of Evil-Merodach, who came after Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that Jehoiachin, who was taken captive up to Babylon, was released from prison. 2 Kings 25:27. It came to pass in the 730th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, the 7th to 20th month of the day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, out of prison. And that's very interesting, because they found that record of that in the Babylonian archives, that Jehoiachin and his five sons, who were captive in Babylon, were given special rations, treated in a special way, just like the Bible says. And so, this is another confirmation of the Bible's history and the truth of the Bible. The final king was Zedekiah. Final king. He was the uncle of Jehoiachin. And Nebuchadnezzar put him on the throne. He was 21 and he reigned 11 years. And he was wicked. And he was the last king. And so God is getting ready to destroy Jerusalem and destroy the temple because of Israel's wickedness. They would not repent, even though God sent many prophets. And so, before the temple was destroyed, God showed Ezekiel a prophecy. God showed Ezekiel a vision. Ezekiel was up in Babylon. And God showed him a vision of how the glory of God had departed from the temple in preparation for its destruction. Ezekiel describes this in chapter 10 and 11. And the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. In 586 BC, the first temple was destroyed by Babylon, a punishment for Israel's sin. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king and his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And so the Babylonian armies came, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, took all of these things back up to Babylon. And the Bible says he destroyed those two great pillars out in front of the temple that we've looked at. One was named Jachin and one was Boaz, which means he will establish and in his strength. And so that's gone. That's gone. They had rebelled against God and therefore they had no strength and they had no protection. They burned the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, as God had warned. And Nebuchadnezzar killed Zedekiah's sons before his eyes. And And then they put out his eyes and took him captive to Babylon. He had been warned by Jeremiah and warned and warned and warned, and he would not obey God. And there is what happened to him. As they killed his sons before him and put out his eyes. And that had been prophesied by Ezekiel. The prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it. Oh, why? Because he's going to be blind. It's an amazing prophecy. And that was the end. That was the end of Judah, the kingdom. There's been no throne there. No throne of David. No king of David has sat on the throne there for 2,400 years. But that's not the end. We know that Christ will come, and that throne will be reestablished, and that kingdom will be reestablished. And so about 600 years later, Jesus came. Jesus came as was prophesied. And so that ends our studies in Israel's kingdom, ancient kingdom, in preparation for the coming of Christ.